This morning is the third in our series about Psalms and the Summer Songbook, taking popular, familiar summer songs and the Book of Psalms to tell us about the character of God. We looked at the beginning of the month at dancing in the streets as we looked at the worthiness of God to be praised. That sounds good. Good. Last week, Jamie preached on the faithfulness of God in the midst of challenges, including that she shared a powerful story from the youth group's trip to Union Beach about Bob and his wife, Bob from up in Union Beach. If you didn't get a chance to hear it, make sure you get on the website, download it, and get a chance for a powerful reminder of God's faithfulness from the character of who God is. I thank Jamie for that last week. And today, we look at the mercy of God. So it was one of those beautiful beach days, you know the kind, the blue sky above and the white puffy clouds kind of dotting the sky, warm sun, light breeze, being there with family extended and a spot on the sand, blanket laid out, umbrella up overhead, chair set out, drinks and snacks in the cooler, books tucked in a non-sandy kind of a spot. All that was left was to venture into the waves. So, a bunch of us go in with that kind of gentle toe dipping that you do to see what the temperature of the waves might be. A few brave ones always kind of rush right in. And over time, the whole bunch was in the ocean past the breaking point, kind of bouncing along nicely, talking and enjoying the day, when someone started to talk about body surfing. Wouldn't it be really great if all of us would go and do it? So I watched a few do it. They did okay. I kind of learned from their mistakes. Go a little bit more this way. Let the waves lead a little more that way. And it was my turn. Yes. Went up. And it happened quick. Some of you have seen this. The waves come up, you start paddling, and it's like for a moment you and the wave are one until my 12-year-old legs were all tangled up in the top of that wave and pew, wipe out onto the sand and everywhere. Now, it wasn't the last time I felt the excitement of the lift of the waves and the quickness of the water's movement and the spill of riding the waves completely across the sand. In many years to follow, I body surfed plenty of time and enjoyed the thrill of the moment and the unpredictability that the waves might just do that again, kind of smash you across the sand or release you gently onto the sand. I think this is the moment that Bob Berryhill, Pat Conley, Jim Fuller, and Ron Wilson were thinking of when they wrote those 12 bars that you and I know as Wipeout. They wrote it, they have said, the tune almost on the spot. They were looking for the B-side of a record that they thought would be much more popular. One of the band members suggested, kind of as a gimmick, that they'd do the sound of a break of a surfboard in the midst of that gimmicky time. And perhaps they said there should be a crackling sound with a ha-ha-ha that kind of went along with Wipeout. You remember the song a little bit? The song, both the original version and the ones that have come since, have been featured in over 20 films, at least one a decade since 1964, when it was originally written. So just in case you don't remember, I'm going to do the thing that the kids did during vacation Bible school and say, "Hit it, Bob." Wipeout is that moment, right? The one that can be filled with the incredible pain of crashing on to the stand, slamming into the shells that were in that place, the moment of crashing down from thrill and excitement. Wipeout can be a pretty harsh reality. Our lesson from 2 Samuel follows the David story we've been hearing all summer. King David, who desired Bathsheba, sought her out, seduced her, and maybe even did things that weren't so appropriate. He got his own way, regardless of other people. He went so far, you remember the story, to have her husband, Uriah, his faithful military commander, killed so he could justify his own actions. He got caught up in the excitement of power and the seeming invincibility of being king. He got all that he wanted, and he wasn't able to see his own sin. He wasn't able to see his selfishness that crushed and literally killed others. It took the clever confrontation inspired by God's very presence of Nathan for David to see the atrocities he had committed. Nathan follows the instructions of the God he speaks for. He lays out a tale for David, the tale of two men, one rich and one poor. He paints a visual picture of the poor man's devotion to this one little ewe lamb, feeding it, loving it, caring for it like it's his own family. Can't you imagine King David kind of following along on this tale? Then Nathan weaves in a twist that the rich man does not take one of his own many pastures of sheep to feed a traveler, but the poor man's one beloved sheep. David, who's tracked the story and felt compassion, is enraged at the actions of this rich man, and so calls very quickly for the death of such a callous and unfeeling man. Now Nathan is clever, he's calculated, and he's got God on his side. In one sentence, the story becomes David's. You are the man. His sin is called out, and the power that has led David away from God crashes down on his head. Wipe out. And we hear David's response in Psalm 51. With the words of a poet, he doesn't feel sorry for himself. He doesn't deflect the blame for his actions. He repents. He calls upon the mercy of God. Psalm 51 is the lectionary psalm for Ash Wednesday, the liturgical day that you and I do the same thing. Repent and call upon the mercy of God as we get ready for the season of Lent and Easter, asking to be more like God. What I remember most from those wipeouts is the seconds right before being battered on the shoreline when everything seems absolutely right and thrilling. The excitement of the moment and the desire to do it again and again and again. And then the shock of being tossed and slammed by the sea. Was this not how the sin of David was? The righteous indignation he kindled against Uriah as he coveted Bathsheba? The righteous indignation he had felt against the rich man in the story? In the thrill of the moment, David was sure that he knew best and he was following the right path up until the moment that his life was shattered and his sin was known to him. Now, God could have treated David with the same disregard that David gave to Uriah. God could have condemned him, could have enacted rage upon David. David had messed up, but good. God's response, though, is one of accountability and one of mercy. God's mercy offers David a new way forward, an opportunity to live as a disciple, not as a prisoner of his own actions. Our God, the God of mercy, did not throw him out on the shore and cause him to experience pain in the proportion for the pain that he caused to others. No. David describes the ways of God like this from the psalm. God, you desire truth in the inward being. Therefore, teach me wisdom in my secret heart. Purge me with hyssop, I'll be clean. Wash me, and I'll be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones that have been crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins. Blot out my iniquity. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Put a new and right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, O Lord, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore me to the joy of your salvation, and sustain in me a willing spirit. God's mercies were known even to David. They were generous and complete, even expunging a sinful record and carrying him down a new path with a clean heart and a right spirit. This wasn't a special one-time deal just for David. This is the very character of who our God is. I wonder, have you ever experienced a moment with a Nathan? Have you ever been confronted by actions that you have done that have hurt someone else? Have your eyes been opened to a way that something you might not even have known was sin, distanced you from God and God's people? Have you been convicted of a need to repent and seek God's mercies? It was the other day when I heard my words in the mouths of one of my children, and I heard anew, "You are the one." Those words came from a source that I recognized quite well. Perhaps for you, it was a friend who took you aside and pointed out something you needed to hear. Maybe it was the actions of a spouse or a coworker saying, "Did you know about the thing you were doing?" You and I have missed the mark. We've known and we've sought the thrill and the excitement of power and invincibility. We've imagined sometimes that our character is not formed in the times when no one else can see us. There have been times, you and I, that we've abused our privilege. We've denied our connection and our commitment to our brothers and our sisters. There are times we, like David, have failed but good and need to ask God to create a new heart in us and a willing spirit to acknowledge we have indeed wiped out and lean on the mercy of our God. So this morning, my hope and my prayer is that the God of mercy would forgive you as you repent of that which has been pointed out to you in some way or another. Inspire change in your heart and actions as you go forward as a disciple of Jesus Christ. This morning, depending on the fact that all of us have missed the mark some way or another, let us pray together. Would you join me in prayer? Merciful God, the psalmist reminds us that your mercies are new every morning, that there is a freshness and a longevity to your commitment to us. Lord, you have loved us since the moment our lives began. You have cared well for us across our lives. And yet, your mercies and compassions are new each day, even when we are exasperated with being your disciples. Lord, we have missed the mark again and again. Lord, we have judged and we have condemned. We have avoided justice and turned our back on mercies we might have extended to others. We have cobbled together excuses and found ourselves righteously indignant. Forgive us, we pray. Return us to the joy of your salvation. Recall in us your love and compassion, joy and peace. Guide us to share your mercy as we seek to be your people. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. This, my friends, is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Amen.